Father, we love you, we worship you, we praise you, we magnify you for your grace, your goodness, and your mercy. And Father, we ask that your words would be said tonight, your deeds would be done, and that your glory would be made manifest. And Father, that your plan and purpose would be wrought in this church, and Father, in these people's lives. And Father, that we would get this job done. And Father, we pray that most precious prayer. Lord Jesus, come and have your way today. Father, we give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
And welcome to Family Church. This is one of 10 locations meeting in New York, Pennsylvania, and even in Europe. We have a church in Spain. Praise the Lord. So we welcome you. And so I'm just so honored and thrilled to be with you here tonight. And this is the first time I believe I'm preaching in this building. So I used to preach in the other warehouse. And so, you know, this is much better. Much better, praise the Lord. So I just greet you in Jesus' name. I have to ask, how many here have never heard me speak? Wow, quite a few of you. Now the pressure's on. Oh my goodness. And so I want to make a disclaimer. Of course, Pastor Mike is the pastor and a handsome singer, good preacher. I'm none of those things. And so, you know, I'm just the fill-in. But please don't judge this church, anything I say or do. You know, come back next week with Pastor Mike is here. But I am thrilled and honored to see you here and see some familiar faces, see some new faces. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to have church tonight. How many believe for a word in season? And that's what we want. That's what we want. My spiritual daddy, my spiritual father, of course I have two of them, but my primary one is Kenneth E. Hagin. Maybe you've heard of him. And Jesus, when he was alive, Jesus appeared to him and told him that God has a plan and purpose for every service. And so every time the church comes together, wherever two or three are gathered, and there's more than two or three here, that God the Father has a plan for that service. There's something he wants said. There's something he wants done. And it's our job to get hooked up to that plan. So that's why we endeavor to pray and seek God. And I know Pastor Mike does that every time he ministers. And so we want that here tonight. We want what Father wants, and we want his work to be carried out in the earth. And I'm just very, very thrilled to have some newer folks that I haven't seen before, haven't heard me before. And so, praise the Lord, I trust that you'll be blessed. And if you're not, thank God Pastor Mike's coming next week. Praise the Lord. And so, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. And I'm especially thrilled to see Pastors Rain Cameo Burst and their family here pastoring in Wellsville, New York. Praise the Lord. And we're just thrilled that good things are coming your way. Been praying a lot and been praying out some things. And so it'll all come to pass. Amen. Praise. And again, I also want to thank those of you that are partnered with our ministry, your faithful support. And we're going to get this job done. Now, you'll hear me say that quite a bit under my ministry about getting this job done. What do I mean? Well, in March 26, 2006, I was caught up to heaven. Does stuff like that still happen? Yes. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, in the last days, God's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And it went on to say that your young men shall see visions. And so I'm still a young man, and so I had a vision. You know, old men dream dreams, so I had a vision. I'm still a young man. But I was caught up to heaven. And Jesus allowed me a special appearance in heaven. He was having a pep rally. And he was, the main speaker. And he was an exhorter, a preacher. And he was up there. And he was talking about his coming to the earth. And he said this, I am coming soon. He was declaring it. I am coming soon. And then he said, get ready. And when he said, get ready, I mean, the saints up there went wild and crazy. You know, I don't know, are you football fans down here?
Yes.
Who do you follow? I don't want to offend anybody. Where we're from, that's Buffalo Bills. All right, primary Bills, all right, we're safe here. But, you know, Bills fans are crazy, aren't they?
Yes.
Absolutely crazy. You know, they do the wave and so forth. They hit each other, and you know, they do wild and crazy things when the Bills score a touchdown. And we think, man, that's wild and crazy. You haven't seen nothing yet. Up in heaven, they're wild and crazy because they're just thrilled about Jesus. And when he said, I'm coming soon, get ready, I mean, they shouted him down. I mean, he had pause because of the excitement going on in heaven. And that happened two times. And then I was back on the earth, and he didn't allow me to see certain things or permit me to recall certain things. He just wanted me to make sure that I remembered what he said, that I'm coming soon, get ready. So my life has always been marked by the coming of the Lord. Ever since I was born, I knew I was called to the ministry. And right along that, I always had this awareness that I would be alive when Jesus came again. Now, you have to understand, I wasn't born in a Christian home. I wasn't reared a Christian. We were denominational folks, and we never heard about that. Our priest never talked about that. But something on the inside of me just knew that, number one, I was called to the ministry, and number two, that I'd be alive when Jesus came. And so the first part came to pass. I am in the ministry today. We're just going to have to all stick around and see if the second part comes true. But my ministry has much to do about getting people ready for the coming of the Lord. You'll hear me say a lot, let's get this job done and motivate people, because we got kingdom business to do on the earth. And part of my assignment here tonight, it is kingdom business, to have a word in season. And this is something that the Lord has been dealing with me of late, and to wherever I go to teach along these lines. And so you're going to help me by believing tonight. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 21 and verse 12. Reverend Scott, do I have my clock? All righty, very good. Now, why do I have a clock? Because when I'm under the anointing, there's no sense of time. But where you're seated, there's a sense of time. And so I don't want to go too long. And plus, I want to be invited back. All right, Matthew 21. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought into the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came unto him in the temple, and he healed them. Now this portion of scripture is something that I've been ministering for quite a few weeks, and whenever I've been in other churches, I've been ministering along these lines. For the past couple of years, I think it started back in 2017, the Spirit of God has been emphasizing and telling me to get my people to pray over and over again. He said, get my people to pray. When you go and you preach and you teach and you go to other churches, get my people to pray. And so, okay, you know, I said, I'll be obedient to that. Then he started getting on my case, and he said this, I want you to pray more. Now, I pray more than most people that I know. You know, usually I pray at least a few hours a day, at minimum, and stuff like that. But he's been dealing with me to pray more, and he's been showing me in the Word the importance of prayer. And he said this, because I'm asking him, what do you want us to do in this time, in this season, in the world and in the body of Christ? He said this, that the church's part in these last days is to pray. And he showed me many things. He took me back to the book of Acts and showed me how the early church prayed. And because they were a church of prayer, great and wonderful things happened. And we truly believe that there's an end-day revival coming. And what we read in the book of Acts not only will be duplicated, but a lot more will be added to that. And, you know, we desire that. We hunger for that. We want to see that. But the key of seeing that come to pass will have to do if the church prays. If we want the same thing the early church got, we got to do the same thing they did. And it would do you well to study the book of Acts, and you read it over the church prayed. And when the church prayed, amazing things happened. We'll get in a little bit of that in this service here. And so, but we want you to know what the Spirit of God is saying about prayer. to pray more. And I know Pastor Mike, I'm sure, teaches you along this line to pray, but I'm just here to obey heaven. We want to follow the plan and purpose of God. I've been in ministry about 35 years. You know, in 35 years, you know, you have a whole lot of sermons and a whole lot of things you can teach on. But it's just not what we want to teach on. We want to say what the Spirit of God wants to say. And that's what I want. And so just seeking, Lord, what to share with these precious people. Because I pray for you all. You may not know me, but I pray for you daily. I pray the epistle prayers for you. I pray blessing upon you and your families. And so much prayer has gone towards you. And tonight I want to make sure whatever I say will be a help and blessing to you and this church to get this job done. And so something very interesting here in this portion of Scripture is Jesus went into the temple, or we can say into the church. Now, what was very interesting in the temple or church, there were things going on that shouldn't be going on. Yeah. Yeah. And there were things not going on that should be going on. And we could say it this way in verse 12, the church was out of order. Yeah. And we see that Jesus had to correct some things, come in and set things in order. And we understand when things are out of order, they just don't work right. Yeah. They don't work as they should. Have you ever gone to a vending machine? Maybe you're driving on the highway, the thruway. Man, you just need a Mountain Dew. You need some chocolate. You need some sugar. You need some whatever you need, whatever your hankering is. And man, you said, man, I got to go get something. You pull over and you go to the vending machine to satisfy your hankering. And you're ready to put your coins in, but they don't take coins anymore. It's dollar bills. And or your credit card, and you're ready to do that, and all of a sudden there's a sign say, out of order. Oh, no. And you know what that means? That means it'll take your money, but it won't get you what you want. You can go through the form of the vending machine, and it is not going to work because it's out of order. So something is wrong and needs to be corrected by the manufacturer who put it out. Something needs to be fixed in order for it to work right. So we see here, the church is out of order. It's not working as it should. It was not designed. You know, it was not working according to the design of the manufacturer. And in verse 13, Jesus tells us why. And he says this, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And so I chose this text because we see things very clear here. Number one, the church is out of order. It's not working as it should. Jesus is correcting things. And then he tells us why things are out of order. It's because my house was designed to be a house of prayer, but you were majoring in something else. And really, this is much of what the church world has been doing of late, is majoring on other things. They have programs, they have outreaches, all of those things are good. But Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of what? Prayer, not programs. Prayer. What does that mean? That ought to be the number one thing going on in the church. Now, the church can have programs and ought to have programs, but they need to be backed by prayer. Have any of you ever heard about this restaurant chain, IHOP? What is it called? The International House of? Yes, you guys are taught well. I'm going to commend you to Pastor Mike. And so it's called the House of Pancakes. Why is it called the House of Pancakes? Because that's what they major in. Yeah. I mean, that is the thing they're known for. That's what they do best is pancakes. Yeah. And they do other things, of course. I looked it up. I haven't gone in years because I'm on a low-carb diet, you know, that type of thing. And pancakes just don't seem to fit that diet. But I do love pancakes. But I did look this up on the internet. You know, you can order a platter and you say if you want eggs. Guess what you're going to get with the eggs? Pancakes. If you want some bacon, well, they'll give you bacon, but they're going to stick you with a side of what? Pancakes. Why? They're the house of pancakes. That's what they do. That's what they're major on. Everything they serve. And I even saw this. They do serve chicken strips. I didn't know that. And you know what comes with the chicken strips? Would you dare guess? Pancakes. So They're called the House of Pancakes because that's what they major in. That's what they do best. Everything. Everything they serve has to do with pancakes. And this is what Jesus is saying here, that my house, my temple, my church ought to be a house of prayer. Yeah, it can have programs. It can have outreaches. It can have ministries. And they ought to have these things. But what they should be majoring in with these programs, with these outreaches, with these ministries, is prayer. Everything ought to be backed by prayer. And, you know, we read in the book of Acts, that's how the early church operated, that they were a church of prayer. It's very interesting. Jesus said, go out and preach the gospel to every creature. But before you do that, there's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit that's going to change your life. It's going to change the world. And what they do about that prophecy, we see in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they prayed without ceasing until that prophecy came to pass. And then outpouring came and it changed the world. And if you go through the book of Acts, whenever the church prayed, they made tremendous power available and the work of God was carried on. People were won to the Lord. People were healed. Signs and wonders were done. And it all points back to a church that prays. And so we see here, verse 12, the church is out of order. And so Jesus has to correct some things. Verse 13, he says that the reason things are out of order, that my house, my ideal for my house, is the church should be a house of prayer. But they majored in other things. But notice in verse 14 how order looks like in the church. And the blind and the lame came unto him in the temple and healed them. You notice the lame and the blind weren't coming beforehand. Before Jesus arrived on the scene, no one was getting healed. They had their programs. They had their outreaches. Not too many people were being helped and touched and reached. But when prayer was set in order, when prayer was put in place, all of a sudden the lame, the maimed, those that were sick, they were healed. And that's what God wants to do in this day. God doesn't just want the church to have programs and outreaches. He wants the power of God made available. Now, I know you know this because I grabbed one of those little cards. It fell out of my Bible here. But you have one of these cards, prayer changes things. Amen. And it says, because the prayer makes powerful power available. I'm so used to reading Amplified. Now I'm like, because prayer makes power available. No prayer, no power. Power equals prayer. And so if you don't have one of those things, go ahead and grab it. So you understand that prayer makes power available. And without prayer, things get out of order. And we know this in our own personal life. Now, I don't want a show of hands, but how many of you have gone maybe a couple of days, God forbid a week, God forbid 2 weeks, without praying much? No show of hands. Don't raise any hands. And those usually are the most blessed times of your life, right? Yeah, you just said, man, I found the secret of successful, dynamic Christian living. Don't pray, and all of a sudden, everything just works out. Everything's in order. You know, the Red Sea parts in front of me, you know, and you know, people get healed as I pass by, you know, with, just like Peter's shadow. No, it's usually just the opposite, isn't it? Things come in that shouldn't come into our lives. You know, just like in the verse 12 here. But we all know this, that prayer has the ability to keep things in order in our life. And so I want to encourage you to pray. I know Pastor Mike teaches these things. But there's something that we need to do as the church. Now, when I'm talking about church, I'm not just talking about the Allegheny Church or the South Dayton Church, not just the Family Church. Excuse me. When I talk about the church, I'm talking about the universal church. You, wherever anyone is born again, that is the universal church. And there's something that we really need to do in the area of prayer, because we're going to see things are in disorder. And we're trying to fix a problem the wrong way. The way you fix a problem in the kingdom of God is you pray, and prayer will fix that problem. So turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And again, if you're visiting, don't judge this church. Anything I say, Pastor Mike is a better preacher, better looking, and no doubt a better singer than I am. But I do have to communicate this message because this is something the Lord has laid on my heart. We saw in Matthew, when the church wasn't praying, it was in disorder. It wasn't working as it should. And Jesus said, man, when prayer's in place, it'll work. Then verse 14, when everything was in order, all of a sudden the power of God was made available. Changes were made and the needs of the people are met. I am very careful never to get political because I'm a preacher of the gospel. You know, it's kind of funny. People out in the world want you to choose a side, don't you? Don't they? You know, are you right? Are you left? Are you this side, that side? And I tell them I'm neither. Yeah. I'm on God's side. Yeah. You remember Joshua, when God told Joshua to go possess Canaan's land and they were to subdue all the nations underneath them, and an angel appeared to him. And you know what Joshua said? Are you for them or for us? So Joshua said, you pick a side. You pick a side. Are you Republican or are you a Democrat? You know what the angel said? Neither. I come from God. And really, that ought to be our take with all that's going on. You know, rather getting on this side, getting on that side, and fighting over these things. It says, I'm for God. I want what God wants. I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm a citizen of heaven. And I want the kingdom of God in the earth. And if we look at what's happening in America right now, I'm sure you're aware. Let me put it this way. Is America in an order or disorder? Disorder, isn't it? It isn't look like in America that we grew up with. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of things out of place in America. With this COVID, that shouldn't be in America. With these riots and so forth. That is disorder in America. And a lot of people have a lot of opinions about what's going on and love to share their opinions what's going on. But when we read Matthew 21, Jesus didn't say, now, let me know your opinion, and your opinion's going to fix this mess. No, he said, when there is disorder, it is put in order through the vehicle of prayer. And brothers and sisters, there is a great, 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 great need for the church to put aside politics, to put aside their opinions, to put aside of fighting and arguing with other people that don't agree with them, and get on their knees and begin to pray for this nation. And this is a call of the Holy Ghost, a call of the Spirit. And you know, when baby Christians get into those things, God overlooks it. But when you're a big boy and a big girl in the kingdom of God, you got to put aside that stuff and do your part to bring order into America. And this is what we're going to look at here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now notice this in verse 1. It says this, I exhort therefore that first of all. You know what first of all means? I looked it up in the Greek, I looked it up in the Hebrew, and I looked it up in the dictionary. Do you know what it means? First of all. The number one thing. First on the list. First thing you do. What is the first thing you do? Is you pick a side, give your opinions, and tell everybody where they're wrong, when they're erring, and help them see the light. Well, maybe in some other translation, but not in mine. First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving thanks be made for all men. So right here, we see in the Bible what our first of all is from God. God says the first thing that ought to be in our lives is what? Programs? Politics? Opinions? No. Prayer. First of all, number one on the list is prayer for all men. And he goes on and says this, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who hath all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. Now, according to the Bible, not which is favorable in the world, the number one thing, our number one job is to pray. And it says for kings. Now, we don't have kings, but we have a president. We have a Congress. We have Senate. We have a House of Representatives. We have governors. We have mayors. And you know, the number one thing that God wants you to do, if you want to know what the will of God is, I'm telling you what the will of God is for your life. The number one thing God wants you to do above anything else to please Him is to pray for your government. Now, this is not my opinion. This is not of any private interpretation. This is what the Bible says, first of all. Now, going back to what we read, when Jesus went into the temple, it was out of order. He said because of a lack of prayer. The reason why these things are going on in America is because the church has not been praying the way it should. The reason why abortions are legal, the reason why we have so many ungodly laws. And you know what we like to do? We like to murmur, complain, say, man, we got an evil government, those lousy people, and man, you know, we like to just get in the heat of things. But that's not how you fix it. That's throwing gasoline on the fire and expecting the fire to go out. It don't work that way. How do you correct disorder? It's through prayer. Now, notice this. He said this, pray for kings, verse 2, and all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And so here, the Bible tells us what order looks like. If you pray as you should, and prayer's in place in the church as it should for the government, it will produce order in the government, and we as Christians lead a quiet and peaceful life. I looked at that word quiet, means undisturbed, a very restful, very easy quality of life. Undisturbed. And I want to correct some wrong thinking that people have. You know, people have said this, and people have come up to me and said, well, you know, the Bible says in the last days people are going to grow evil and worse, and the heart of people will grow cold and so forth. And they just kind of use that cliche or that thought and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. And so you've been duped by the devil on that. The Bible says the Word of God is not bound. Notice it didn't say that, you know, pray for your government, except when it comes to last days, because in the last days prayer don't work anymore.
Come on, Pastor. That's good.
No, it says that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life. Do you know America can be a utopia until the coming of the Lord? America could be the most peaceful, quiet nation, the most prosperous nation, the most godly nation in all of time on the face of the earth, if the church would pray. Notice it says that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life. You know, there's a lot of complaints about masks. I don't know about you, but I don't like wearing masks. I don't like to have to be 6 feet from people and so forth. You know, naturally we're inconvenienced by it. But grumbling and complaining about it don't fix it. The reason why there is coronavirus in the United States is because of us. The church, that we're not taking our place. We're not praying. We're not changing things. We're complaining. We're fussing. We're enduring things. But we're not changing it by prayer. And so we need to pray. Now, I want to share with you some big boy and big girl stuff. Are you ready for big boy, big girl stuff? And again, this is important. It's part of my assignment about getting people to pray. And I have this account somewhere written here about the importance of prayer. Now again, I'm going to talk about Kenneth Hagin, who was my spiritual father, who was the foremost prophet in the world when he lived. And he was a man given to visions where Jesus would sit down and talk to him for an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. And this is written from the book, I believe it's The Triumph of the Church, about the importance of the church praying for its nation. And I'm going to read this. Again, this could be a little heavy, but how many know it's important?
Amen.
It's important that we take our place, that we pray. And it reads this, in the second vision in 1979, Jesus said to me, if Christians of this nation would have done what I told them to do in my word and prayed for the leaders of their country, they could have kept those evil spirits you saw in 1970 from operating in this nation. So we'll stop there, do a little clarification. Back in 1970, God showed that there would be great evil coming upon America. And he warned America. And he told Christians everywhere we need to pray. But they didn't pray. They just complained. They just did nothing. And now, 9 years later, Jesus is telling them, if they would have prayed like I told them to 9 years ago, they would have kept those evil spirits from operating in this nation. Now listen to this. He said, none of those upheavals would have occurred in your nation. You would not have had the political, social, and economic disturbances in this nation. Sounds like our nation today.
Yeah.
Political, social, economic. Yeah. You know, I mean, in Fredonia, I know how it's like here. We have a lot of restaurants closing, businesses closing, laying off because, you know, just because the economic, through the COVID and so forth, that they're shutting down. But Jesus was telling Brother Hagin, and I believe he's talking to our generation, that if we'll pray, we could stop these things.
Yeah.
All right? Now, it goes on, and the president would never have made the mistakes that he made.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those of you that, I don't want to say older, I don't like to use that word anymore, more mature.
Yeah.
For those of you that were alive in the 70s, you know what president he's talking about. He's talking about Richard Nixon. And we know this. And if you did your homework, you know what happened. He made some mistakes. And, you know, everyone said, bad president. And, man, bad, you know, this, bad, that. He made some mistakes. But listen to this. Jesus was telling Brother Hagin to tell the church, if the church would have prayed, he would never have made those mistakes. You have to understand there's a lot of spiritual pressure on those that are political figures, and especially the president and those in the Supreme Court. Though the higher up you are, the more the spiritual pressure of darkness is against you, and that's why the more we need to pray for those that are higher up in our government. Now, this is sobering, but we need to hear it. I tell my church very often, it's better to hear it from me now and get it right rather than be surprised and hear it from him when you get to heaven and said, oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's read this again. If the church would have prayed, none of these upheavals would have occurred in your nation. You would not have the political, social, and economic disturbances in this nation. And for those of you visiting, come back next week and Pastor Mike will exhort you, have you shouting, running, dancing. Part of my ministry is like John the Baptist. I'm in the wilderness crying, repent, repent. Yeah, and you know what ended his ministry? He got beheaded. So, nice scene. If I don't see you again, you know what happened to me. All right. And the president would never have made the mistakes you made. In fact, I am holding the church responsible for the president's mistakes. And when I heard that, I heard Jesus say that, Brother Hagin cried out, my God, and began to weep. Jesus continued, yes, the church is responsible before God Almighty. I know that when you tell some Christians, they will laugh, but wait until you see when they stand before me in my judgment seat, see if they'll laugh, and when they're the ones being judged for that crime that was done.
Yeah.
Now, again, this is big boy pants and big girl pants. You know, if you're a baby Christian, you know, how many know babies? Babies, you go, oh, you're so cute. And you can spit up, mess your pants. It's the cutest thing. And, you know, when babies start to walk, they take a step, fall down. Whoo, how beautiful. And just go up and you just dote and you make a mistake. But how many know when they're 17, 18 years old, you don't want to be doing that.
Yeah.
Messing your pants and, you know, still you're one step down, you know. It's, you know, there's a growth thing, and same thing with us as Christians. So if you're new at your Lord, you just enjoy God, learn about God. But if you've been around the block a while and you're a big boy and a big girl, this message is for you.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
And it goes on. Jesus said this. He said, second, something's about to happen to your president that should not happen and will not happen if Christians will pray and take authority over the devil's strategies and bind his works in my name. And third, unless Christians pray, there is something about to happen that will bring further trouble in the economic scene and financial structure of this nation. Jesus concluded, once again, Christians can stop all three of these strategies of the devil against this nation. They can stop the upheavals to riots, tumults, disturbances in the social structure. They can stop the upheavals and the activity of the devil in the political scene of their nation. They can stop the devil from disrupting the financial scene of this nation. Whoa!
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you came tonight?
Yeah.
Now, I know it's a little sobering, but how many know, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. And notice, the Spirit of God for the past 3 years has been saying, get my church to pray. Get my church to pray. And maybe I'll be judged for not being doing it more, because he gave us a few years before this COVID came out.
Yeah.
And some other things happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. We'll find out when we get there, but we have the Bible. That if we'll pray, first of all, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we can enjoy a quiet, peaceful life. I don't know about you, but wearing masks and having to be quarantined and going to restaurants and they're closed and stuff, that's not a quality of life. That's not prosperity. That's not peace. We can change this thing. We can pray for our nation and change it. And there's a great need to be praying for our president, regardless of what you think about.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, most people do have a side that they lean towards.
Sure.
But that doesn't change the Bible what side you lean towards.
Yeah.
You know, throughout the course of my life, you know, I've had my sided presidents and the other sided presidents. And you know what? I pray for all of them. And I pray, you know, I even tend to pray even more for those that aren't my side presidents, to help them, to bless them. Not God judge them, remove them from office, expose that hypocrite. No, 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 no. The way you pray is the way you're going to receive prayers for you. And so I don't want people calling fire down from heaven on me. I pray for God to lead and guide and direct, to help and to protect. We can change this, brothers and sisters, if we'll pray. And see, there is a move of God coming. And that there are things that must be accomplished. And I truly believe this, that we have forfeited moves of God simply because we haven't been praying as a church.
Yeah.
I can go back to Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin in 1950 and talking about the end time move of God back in 1950.
Yeah.
He said, you have now entered the era of the miraculous. Maybe Pastor Mike's talked about that. And, you know, Jesus said, this is a time for miracles. And I've been looking. Where are they?
Yeah.
There's a little here, a little there.
Right.
But, it's 1950. That's 70 years ago, September 2nd, 70 years ago. And we still haven't gotten into it. Well, the Lord has. He's just waiting for his good old time, the Lord's time. No, he needs the church to pray.
Yeah.
All right, turn with me to Acts chapter 12. The difference our prayers make in the church, the difference our prayers make in the world. In Acts chapter 12. And I love this portion of Scripture. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Now about that time. Now I have that highlighted in my Bible. Because if the Bible says about that time, what time is it talking about? And he said in context, there was great political upheaval, great economic and social upheaval going on in that area. And notice what was happening at that time. Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Herod is a political leader. Herod, no doubt, is being influenced by spiritual power. And it doesn't take much of a genius to find out if he's being inspired by God or the devil. We know he's being inspired by the devil because God doesn't inspire people to come against the church. Whenever a political leader is against good and right and wants to pass ungodly laws, yes, and come against Christians, you know they're inspired of the devil.
Yes.
And so we see here that Herod, being inspired of the devil, comes against the church. And he killed James, the brother John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And I have highlighted, he saw it pleased the Jews. He was catering to special interest groups. Now, I'm not getting political, but do you see a correlation here?
Yeah.
How Satan uses political authority to come against the church.
Yeah.
And notice, Satan influenced Herod to use political authority to kill James, the brother John. He is an apostle, and kills him quite easily. And not only kills him quite easily, a special interest group says, yes, yes, finally we have our say. Finally, get rid of them all. Wipe them all out. And so what is happening? He decides, hey, you know what? Let's take the number one dog. We took James out. Let's go for Peter. In verse 4, when he had apprehended or arrested him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. Now I'm reading King James. That simply means 16 soldiers to keep him or to guard him. Intending after Easter or Passover to bring him forth. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him.
Amen.
All right. Remember our opening text. The temple was out of order. Things were happening that shouldn't happen. Things weren't happening that should have happened. Jesus said it's because there's no prayer in it. When prayer's in place, things become in order, people are healed, supernatural power is made available. And here we see the same thing. There is disorder in the government. And because of that disorder, it is coming against the church, and now the church is being attacked, and people are being killed by political authority. All right? Now, notice in verse 5, Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing the church unto God. Notice what the Holy Ghost said. For him. Why do you put that? Because he is telling us, the Holy Ghost telling him, there was no prayer made for James. And see, because the church was not praying, political authority could easily move in, come against church, create laws, ungodly laws, and wield that political authority in the earth. The only thing that trumps political authority on the earth is the church praying.
Amen.
If we don't like the way the government's going, we have an antidote for it. It's called prayer. We can change it. And so I believe here the church got a wake-up call. They realized, you know, pretty soon we're all going to be wiped out. Pretty soon, you know, Herod's going to kill all of us. We better start getting busy. What did they start to do? They started to pray. Did prayer make a difference? Well, let's read on. We know no prayer, James gets killed. Peter gets apprehended. He's ready to meet the same fate. The church prays without ceasing. And verse 6, and Herod would have brought him forth. The same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Why did it tell you all the details? It says it's an impossible situation. He is chained to soldiers. There's 16 guarding him. He's in a maximum security prison. There's no way naturally he can get out. There is absolutely no way. No amount of protesting, picketing is going to get him released. Yeah. He is set on it. He's got the backing of special interests. He's going to use that authority to just have his way in Peter's life. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and rose him up, saying, rise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands supernaturally. And the angel said, gird thyself and bind on the sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, wist not it was true, but was done by the angels, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, those are guarded gates with soldiers there. You know, they didn't have guns, but I'm sure they had swords. You know, that they were on watch. Not only did they have 16 soldiers guarding him personally, there are guards at every door of this maximum security prison. And notice, chains were breaking off. These guards are sleeping, doors open, supernaturally, an impossible situation. You know, we can be looking at America and say, it's impossible. All the babies we killed. All the ungodly laws. We live in a nation where they call good evil and evil good. And it looks impossible. It is not impossible, the church prays. It can be turned overnight.
That's good.
All right? Verse 10, and when they passed the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth to the city. This is the big gate that is locked and has guards on it. And when they came to the gate, it just opened up, just like Walmart. And everyone's sleeping. And he went out and passed through the street forth with the angel departed. The angel left when Peter could take care of himself. Was there a difference when the church prayed? Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is why God's been having me ring the dinner bell, the warning, as a voice crying in the wilderness, get my church to pray. You know, and we don't even need the Spirit of God to do that, to speak to me, to tell my church to pray. We have the Bible.
Yeah.
First of all, prayer, supplications, giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all the authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceful life. And notice here, when the church prayed, not only did God's will and power come into the church, angels, miracles, I mean, great things are happening. That's what we desire. Prayer makes power available. But notice what it does to political leaders. All right. Let's pick it up in verse 20. And Herod was displeased with them, Tyre and Sidon. And they came to him one accord, having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon a throne and made an oration or speech unto them. And the people with one accord said, this is the voice of a god and not a man. Because they wanted his money. He wanted this protection in this county. So they were lifting him up and saying, man, you got the voice of a god. Now notice what happened. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, and because he gave not God the glory, he was eaten up worms and gave up the ghost. And the word of God grew and multiplied. Now, I'm not advocating saying, Lord, smite so-and-so in office.
Yeah.
Let him be eaten up worms. No, you don't have the wisdom or the love walk to be dealing with that.
Yeah.
Your job is to pray.
Yes. Yes.
God's job is to judge.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yes. That's good.
And see, if the church will pray, I mean, we have a major, major election coming up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yes, it's important to go out and vote, and you need to go out and vote. But you know what's more important than voting? Prayer.
Yeah.
Prayer. Yeah. Now, can I share something with you?
Yeah.
All right. What I got for time? I'm fixing the close. You know what that means? Absolutely nothing. And again, regardless what side of the fence, political fence, John, I'm on God's side.
Amen.
You know, I'm like that angel that said to Joshua, I'm not for them or them, I'm for God and the kingdom of God and the earth. But you do understand that certain sides have better standards, morals, beliefs. They're not perfect, and there's disorder in every camp, regardless. And so we're not picking or choosing. But in our last election, the Holy Ghost showed me, and I have this date documented with this upcoming election, that the election was going to go a different way in the last presidential election. All right. And if it wouldn't want that way, that would be it for America. Mm. And again, it's not a person, but when certain people get in power for that long and use that political authority like Herod to special interests and stuff, it would have caused America the see its worst days.
Yeah.
And again, nothing personal.
Yeah.
I'm just speaking for Father.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes.
All right, so I don't pick sides. What he says, that's what I say.
Yeah.
And so I was burdened, and I prayed. And you understand, when I prayed, I mean, I'm talking hours a day. Just praying and being burdened, because, you know, I live in America. I want to lead a quiet and peaceful life. My kids, I want my kids to enjoy the type of life I did growing up.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfect, but man, it's not crazy like it is today.
Yeah.
And I prayed, and I know others in the body of Christ, they prayed and they prayed and prayed. See, when you make prayer, power is made available.
Yeah.
And but I was so burdened over this, because it was not the will of God that unless we did something, America would go dark really fast. And we prayed, and it had to be for a couple of months, just praying like that, and others prayed. And I remember one time just, again, being so burdened about this, burdened in prayer, praying for our nation, praying concerning the election. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on me, and I prayed it out, and I got a breakthrough. And, you know, I started to laugh and to rejoice and to shout. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying that I've heard the prayers of my people. I've heard the prayers, and I am changing things in your nation.
Amen.
And he said this, I'm planning a coup, a takeover. You won't see it outwardly, but behind the scenes, I'm planning a takeover in this upcoming election and for this time in America.
Hallelujah.
And, you know, I got real excited, but I didn't believe it.
Help us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I knew we prayed and we gotten it.
Yeah.
But if you watch the news,
yeah.
95% said it's going to go this way, 5% is going to go this way.
Yeah.
And everything that's been painted, there's no natural way that's going to go the other way.
Right.
And so I was doubting Thomas. I'll believe it when I see it, but I know what the Spirit of God said. And but he says, I'm working behind the scenes, a takeover. And I'm just so grateful my kids got to see what happened.
Yeah.
The power of prayer, how things can change when generations prays, when the church prays. And it was very interesting, even the night of the election. Of course, I voted. And usually with me, I operate more in the office of a pastor. God would show me, give me a vision of who is going to be the president or the governor, especially when I don't vote for him. Yeah, and it's just like I don't want to give names because I'm not political, but this has been happening for 20 years on election night. The Lord will show me who's going to win, and sometimes would show me their heart, you know, and so forth. And, you know, I could tell you stories, but we don't have time. And so here it is. It's election night. And I don't believe the thing the Lord told me, because everything is looking like a landslide the other way.
Yeah.
And I didn't even want to watch the election because, you know, when it starts, it's all, man, it's going one-sided. You know, I'm a false prophet. Maybe the word is that after it goes a certain way, America gets so tired of it, they finally act up and wise up, and in 4 years, things will change. You know, so that's my interpretation of it. So I didn't even want to watch the election, and I go to bed, and I says, Lord, it's election night. Now, of course, I can't turn this on and off, but I know how it happens. I'm going to go to bed. I'm not going to look because, you know, looking just scared me. And so I go to bed, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, I thought it was 4 o'clock right on the dot, I sat up in bed, and I have a vision. And the Lord shows me the electoral college count, you know, the red and the blue. And he showed me the scores. You know, we think, you know, it's cool that, you know, we have digital imaging. God is way ahead of that.
Yeah,
you don't even use wires or Wi-Fi. And so I see the electoral map. And the word of the Lord comes and says, Trump has won the presidency. And I look, I don't believe it. Then all of a sudden, then I got these new flashes, Trump has won. And it came to pass. You know why it came to pass? Regardless if you like the man or not.
Yeah.
Is he my type of man? No. I like polished and so forth. But he's getting the job done.
Yeah. Right.
And he's God's choice. Yeah. And if you don't like it, you're butting against God's choice.
Right.
I get my hand off of God's choice.
Yeah.
You know, God takes the foolish things, confound the wise, and he's proving it out.
Yeah, that's right.
All right?
Yeah.
All right. So, again, I don't get political. I'm not speaking of a side. I'm speaking from Father, the kingdom of God. So he that has ears to hear. But what happened is we changed it. We change. Imagine what would be happening right now if it went the other way. Yeah. I mean, that'd be it. But it's like this. You know, you guys are football fans. I'm shutting up, really. I am. Your football team. They won the playoffs, and now they're in the Super Bowl, right? But they still have to play the Super Bowl. You don't say, oh, well, they got in the Super Bowl, so that's good, I leave them alone. No, that's when they really, really need to perform in the Super Bowl. Well, this is a time that God's people in office really need to perform.
Yeah.
They need our prayers more than ever.
Amen.
We need to change these things. We need to change this coronavirus. We need to change this racial upheavals. Regardless if you're Democrat or you're Republican or you're conservative or whatever you are, you're a nunative. As a child of God, you must pray and change these things.
Amen. Amen.
That clock says my time is done. But that is my assignment. We need to pray. The Spirit of God has been telling me over and over and over again, get my church to pray. Now, in closing, finishing, stopping, and completing. If you're like me, well, how do you pray for your government? Lord, help them. Lord, bless them. Lord, help them, bless them. On our Facebook page?
Yes.
Yeah. On my Facebook page, I'm not very good with words. You know, when I pray in tongues because my vocabulary is very limited. You know, I could last about 2.5 minutes and I forget about what to pray for. But Pastor Nancy Dufresne, my pastor, has written out prayers that are absolutely tremendous. You can get it off our website. You can get it off our website, our Facebook. I pray those every day for our nation. You know, me being a guy and a very little education, you know, my vocabulary is very simple. Her being a woman and very educated. You know, she prays in details. And so I pray those things. And again, you can pray when we want, but if you need some help, like I do, you can get off our website. You can get off their website to help you. But the main thing is to pray and change this thing around. I got to stop. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I've delivered my assignment. For years you've been telling me to get the church to pray. And tonight you told me and emphasized about praying for the government. And so, Father, I've endeavored to obey just to speak your words, to encourage people to pray. And, Lord, we just thank you. Father, for helping us and reminding us to pray for our nation, regardless if that's our candidate or not. We are citizens of heaven. We have a right and responsibility before heaven to pray and change these things. Change them in our nation. Change it in the church to get rid of disorder and to bring order back into America in our lives. And with heads bowed, eyes closed, I know this is Saturday night, and I know folks that love the Lord come to church Saturday night, but I just want to make sure that everyone here is born again. I know we talked about the importance of praying for the government and so forth. That's our responsibility to change. Our prayers can change these things. But if you're here tonight and you're not born again, or maybe you are born again and you're not walking with the Lord, I want to encourage you, the days are short. Make your life right. Give your heart to God. So real quick before we close and turn over to Pastor Scott, is there anybody here you've never been born again? Or you have been born again, you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Would you raise your hand? When you raise your hand, we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you out. We just want to know who we're praying for, if anyone has a spiritual need, because we want you to leave having your spiritual needs met. Is there anybody here tonight that needs to know the Lord or needs to rededicate their lives to them, to Him? All right. Well, praise the Lord. I want to thank you for listening. I really wish I could give you a happy, cheery message swinging from the chandeliers. And you do have chandeliers here and running. But how many know this is so important? What good is a swinging and running service and jumping service if our nation is going to hell and we can change it? So I love you. Thank you. Thank you. And again, if you're visiting or you're offended tonight, Pastor Mike will be back and he'll have you smiling, singing, and loving Jesus. Love you. Thank you for putting up with me. I'm going to turn over to Pastor Scott.